Hi again, everybody, and welcome to the Emrens Podcast, episode 95. It's Tuesday, June 17th, 2008. And of course, we in New Zealand are a day ahead of the continental United States, and so today is here, the day that marriage equality arrived in California. Hi, everyone. My name is Arthur, and I'm a gay American now living in New Zealand. And today is an historic day, because what happens in California so very often influences the rest of the country. And, of course, the battle in California isn't over yet. But we'll talk a little bit about that today, because it is so historically significant. But I have a few other things to go over today as well. And first of them, sort of a special announcement, I suppose, and that is the time has come for you to change your feed, or your the way you subscribe to the Emrens Podcast. On June 20th, which will be June 19th in the U.S., I am going to downgrade my Podomatic account from a paid account to a free basic account. Now, because Podomatic has been so screwed up over the past several weeks or months or pretty much forever, it's entirely possible that you won't be able to retrieve my feed or download any podcasts or what have you after that happens. So I just want to prepare you for that, that that's a distinct possibility. But all of my podcasts going all the way back to episode one are available at the new home of the Emrens Podcast, which is, oddly enough, emrenspodcast.com. And of course, by the way, feel free to leave a comment on any episode going all the way back to number one if you want. You don't necessarily have to leave it just on the current ones, although I don't necessarily go back and read comments on older episodes. But anyway, it is time to change your feeds. Now, for those of you who subscribe through some sort of feed catcher, an RSS reader, what have you, this probably isn't a big drama for you. You probably already know what to do. And actually, at emrenspodcast.com, there is a place where you can subscribe directly to the RSS feed if you so want to. However, for those of you who are using iTunes, you have to jump through an extra hoop. And that is with iTunes open, of course. You go to the advanced menu, which is one of the main menus, and you go down to the second item, which is subscribe to podcast. A little window that will pop open will say URL. And in that window, you enter http://feeds, that's F-E-E-D-S, .feedburner.com/Emrens Podcast. And I hope to have a sort of an illustrated example of all of this, both on my old blog and on emrenspodcast.com. And with any luck, this will be up before you hear this. But if not, that's the procedure you will probably have to go through for iTunes. Now, don't fret about memorizing all that, but because the plane's going overhead. I don't know if it was a helicopter. Gee, timing's everything, eh? Anyway, I do intend to continue posting to Podomatic for the time being. However, as I said, it's entirely possible that after June 19th in the U.S., that the feed will no longer work, that you won't be able to retrieve anything through iTunes from the old address. That's entirely possible. And even if it is possible, there will be months when I run out of bandwidth or storage or some silly thing like that. And when that's the case, you won't be able to get it through iTunes then either. However, as I also said, they will always be, all episodes will be available at the new site, emrenspodcast.com, at any time you want to listen to. Now, I have more about the last issue, last episode rather, coming up when I get to the comments and all that sort of thing. But first, I did just want to say a few things about the historic events in California. We all know that this is only a sort of a brief respite in the war that is far from won. Conservative legal groups have been tripping all over themselves to file every kinds of obscure legal motion they can think of to try to stop it, and they failed at every turn. However, just today, this morning, I think it was, another right-wing Christian legal group filed another challenge in some district court somewhere in California, asking for a stay on some obscure legal ground. And the thing is that it is highly unusual to ask a lower court to stay a Supreme Court decision. So all of these are of dubious merit in the first place. So they're just using California taxpayers' money on a hopeless, pointless cause. And, of course, they don't have to pay for that. All they have is their legal fees, and they've got plenty of deep pockets to pay for those. But the state, of course, is out the money that these pointless legal challenges are going to cost. But these legal challenges aren't where the war is. Of course, the war will be in November and the ballot initiative where conservatives are trying to outlaw same-sex marriage and to enshrine intolerance, bigotry, and discrimination into the California Constitution. Current polling shows that that ballot measure will lose, but there's a long way till November still. And the Republican Party will pull out all the stops to try to defeat it. For them, it's a huge wedge issue, and they're hoping that by capitalizing on same-sex marriage as a wedge issue, that they can drive more people to go to the polls for John McCain. So there's a lot of work to be done between now and November. Now, at my old blog, my blog, which is amarins.com, today I posted a video that I actually got from Joe My God, and it's about, oddly enough, an American and a Kiwi. And the Kiwi has to go back to New Zealand because she can't stay, and the American is going to go join her in New Zealand because, of course, New Zealand allows same-sex partners of Kiwis to immigrate, which is, of course, how I got here. And it's an interesting video, and I have some comments in general about how the lack of immigration justice for same-sex partners is one of the consequences of the ban on same-sex marriage. And so if you get a chance, do check it out. I'll try to remember to put a link to that blog post in the show notes so that if you go to amarinspodcast.com, you can just go right back to it. That's really all I wanted to say about it. Just a few words to remind you that although it is good to see these things happening in California, the battle is far from won. The war is far from over. And basically, do all you can in the coming months to ensure that fairness and justice wins out in California. Make donations, volunteer your time, whatever you can do in your part of the world to help prevent the forces of darkness from triumphing yet again. So anyway, that's it for that topic. Most of what I wanted to talk about today was about the podcast because I got some feedback on the last episode. I don't know why I keep calling it issue. But before I get to that, I want to jump back a couple of episodes, actually, back to episode 91 with Monique. And I did have a comment on that over the Podomatic site, which is from Jason, who said, "Wow, great interview. Really like the music, too." And I apologize for not reading that sooner, but in the old days, Podomatic used to tell me when I received comments over on the site, and they stopped doing that, apparently. So I had no idea it was there until I just kind of looked at the page to see, you know, what was going on and that sort of thing. But it wasn't intentional to skip over that. And actually, I've also heard privately from a couple of people who say that they were going to go to Monique's site and buy her CD, which is really great to hear. I'm very, very happy about that. But now I'm going to go on to the comments from the last couple episodes. But first up, I have a phone comment from Scotty in Australia.
G'day, Arthur. It's Scott from Australia here. And seeing as today is Friday the 13th, which I'd only realised quite late in the day, I wondered if you would like to talk about what I thought extremely weird thing of how so many American people are superstitious. And when you go to a hotel, there's no 13th floor. However, don't people realise that just because you call it 14, it still is the 13th floor? Anyway, I thought that was very weird when I went to America for a holiday and wondered what your New Zealand take on it was. Thanks, bye.
Well, thanks for that, Scott. I actually did receive that message on Friday the 13th. However, I had recorded the Friday episode unusually early, and so I didn't receive it until after I'd recorded and posted. So unfortunately, it was too late. But I do have a couple of thoughts about that. I don't get it, is the first thought. when I was growing up, even, I just thought it was a bit of fun. All of those superstition things about, you know, you knock over salt and you throw it over your pinch over your shoulder and all that sort of stuff, I just thought it was a bit of fun. But there are people who obviously take it very seriously, and I don't, for the life of me, understand it. I mean, I probably don't need to say that a lot of people believe that the superstition about Friday the 13th goes back from when the Knights Templar were rounded up and murdered on a Friday the 13th. Now, I don't know if that's true or not, and quite frankly, I don't care, because whether that's true or not doesn't make Friday the 13th unlucky. And I actually don't believe in luck. I don't believe in superstitious phenomenon of any kind. So to say that any particular day of any particular month is unluckier than any other day, to me, just seems to be utter nonsense. Having said that, however, I have noticed that weird things do happen when there's a full moon. I mean, the term lunacy is derived from when there's a full moon. And crime statistics show that people do act strangely when there's a full moon. But putting that issue aside, just ordinary superstition, I don't get it. And it's virtually unheard of here in New Zealand and Australia, maybe from immigrants, I don't know. But there is one thing in New Zealand which is a bit unusual, and that is that some Māori apparently seriously believe in this thing called a taniwha, which is kind of like a demon, a dragon-y sort of thing. It's invisible, and they believe that it causes problems in certain areas. There was a case a few years ago of a stretch of highway that had to be delayed because the local iwi, tribe, believed that there was a taniwha in the swamp that they were going to be crossing over. And it held up construction for quite a while until they were satisfied that it was gone. And I personally don't believe in anything like that either. But there are obviously people who do. And I suppose it's culturally relative. Some people are more superstitious than others. But I mean, it seems to me that superstition is greatest where religious fervor is also the greatest. Although I'm certainly no expert on that field, but that's the way it looks to me. But as I say, there isn't that kind of superstition here in New Zealand, certainly. And but fortunately, nobody here in New Zealand has ever asked me to explain why Americans are so superstitious. So at least I get out of having to explain that to them. But anyway, I'm going to go on now to the comments. So I'm going to start with some of the written comments first. And this is for episode 93. And most of the... I read the one last week, but it was last week, Friday episode. But since then, I've gotten another one from Roger Green, who said, "Hi, Arthur. I was listening to your last few episodes in a row, so I don't know if it was this post or the previous one where you talked about gay marriage in New Zealand. I wrote about a gay rights march in Albany, New York. They say Albany here in New Zealand. Anyway, Albany, New York, which you can read. But I'm more interested in your reactions to the comments," and he provides a link. By the way, I was a bit out of commission because of an accident, which he details. I tend to listen to you at work because ever since my home computer got reconfigured a couple weeks ago, I haven't had a chance to install iTunes or the like. Since I wasn't at work for a week, I had 7 or 8 podcasts to listen to, at least 2 of them yours. Thanks again. Well, thanks, Roger. And glad to hear that you're starting to be on the mend. He was in a bit of a bicycle accident. He was struck by a car. And that's all on his blog. And, of course, he has the link there. I'd encourage you to go and read the blog post for yourself to see what you say. I posted a comment, which you'll see, and that's basically there's a homophobe who was making comments about his talking about the Albany Pride March, and I suggested that basically that this fellow's presence sort of reinforced one of the points that Roger was making. But I'd be curious what any of the rest of you have to say. I'm sure that Roger would as well. Now we move on to episode 94, which, of course, was Friday's episode. And to introduce that, I have another phone message.
Hey, Arthur. It's Jeff Mark calling, and I was just listening to your latest episode. Or rather, I was listening to parts of your latest episode. It was playing, and all of a sudden it started fast-forwarding. And I noticed that not only did it fast-forward, it skipped back and started replaying parts of the earlier part of the episode. So I don't know if that was just in me and I got a screwy phantom download, or if it was maybe you were purposely trying to skip through the parts that I didn't want to listen to. I don't know. Anyway, it was, as usual, fun and interesting to hear. Always love hearing about life in other parts of the world. So keep up the good work. Talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Well, thanks for that, Mark. And no, I that was not on purpose. Although it is tempting sometimes to fast-forward things I know that particular listeners won't want to listen to, unfortunately, I don't quite know how to do that on a broad-spectrum basis. But I think before I address it any more specifically, I'm going to read some of the things that people said in the written comments about this. And Big Fatty said, "Ruined. Either my iPod is screwing up or you're trying to imitate BF with the ruination around the 12-minute mark. The horror." And over at... Emrinspodcast.com, Freddie said, "Was I having a seizure? Or was there some kind of skippage in this episode? Hopefully your gut resolves quickly. Sounds horrid." And Roger Green said, "The first time I downloaded this episode, it downloaded as 7 minutes or so. The second time, it was 39:38. Since your page shows 35 minutes, you should know that part of it jumps back in time, e.g. part of the comments I heard twice. Don't know if I missed something." And then he said a little while later, about 5 minutes later, he said, "I take it back. I'm sure I did miss something in the comments section, unless you stopped in mid-word. You were talking about getting the New Zealand job and mentioned linking the computers all together. Whatever you said after that, I didn't hear." Well, What happened was, once again, our lovely friend Podomatic. When I was uploading that episode to Podomatic, there was an issue with the upload. And I thought at the time, oh, I bet that didn't go through. I better do it again. But then I looked at it, I use FTP software, and it said that it was successful. And I thought, oh, okay, well, I was in a bit of a hurry by this point. So I just went ahead and posted it. And it was only later, once I started getting the comments, that I realized that something was wrong. The version that was posted on airmanspodcast.com and went through the FeedBurner feed was correct. And that is now, and has been for the past few episodes, the one that I post first. So that one is correct and will be correct. I had to go away on the next day, Saturday, New Zealand time, and I didn't get back until fairly late in the evening. But I did repost the episode. I deleted the old MP3 and re-uploaded and reposted it. But, you know, I noticed that it still says it's 38 minutes long. So something's really screwed up at Podomatic once again. Now, I haven't listened to the reposted episode, so I don't actually know if it's corrupted or not. And I don't know. I've lost all patience and faith in anything to do with Podomatic now. The statistics seem to have sorted themselves out. They seem to be back to normal, although I'm about to lose all access to that when I downgrade to a free account, so it won't matter anyway. But be that as it may, let's just say what is commonly said in New Zealand, and that Podomatic is a total fuck up. There's no other way to put it. It's just useless. So as I said at the beginning of this episode, it really is a good idea for you to now switch to the FeedBurner feed, because in the not too distant future, as a matter of fact, in 3 days' time, I am going to be ending my association with Podomatic to all intents and purposes. And it's entirely possible that you will no longer be able to access it through the old feed after that time. Now, you may be able to, you may not be able to, I don't know. I will actually, in that Friday episode, I will let you know what I know is going on at that point, if indeed I know anything, which it's entirely possible that I won't. So we'll see. On Friday morning probably, I'm going to post just a little reminder message. It will be only at most a minute long, I suspect, reminding people to change their feed. And if you get that through iTunes, then that means that everything's fine and you don't need to rush to do anything. If you don't get that, then that means that there's a problem. Now, Friday morning, my time is, well, it depends on what time I post it, I suppose, but it's late afternoon-ish. Actually, it's probably more like early to mid-afternoon in the U.S., depending on which time zone you're in. So, yeah, if Friday mid-afternoon to late afternoon, if there's nothing coming through iTunes, but you see at amaranspodcast.com something's posted, then you'll know that there's an issue. The real Friday episode, assuming that there is one, will be somewhat later than that. I need to do a test first to see if things are still going through iTunes before I go to all the trouble of trying to, I don't know, so I can let you know, basically, I guess is what I'm trying to say. But there were a couple other minor comments about episode 94. As I said, Freddie said, hopefully your gout resolves quickly. Sounds horrid. And Jason said, great new site, so much better than the last site. Sorry to hear about the gout attack. And yeah, this has been a particularly nasty version of a gout attack. Mm-hmm. It's lingered on for the better part of a week. In fact, it's been 1 week today. Since it really got bad. However, things are much improved today. I'm still not back to normal yet. My foot is still too swollen to put on a shoe, but at the very least, it's not as painful as it was, and I can walk around a little bit better. So that means that I'm sort of on the mend, I guess. So that's all good. Yesterday, speaking of updates and things, I went to the eye clinic for my one-month checkup. It's actually 1 month since the first week, because you have a checkup at the one-week point, then 1 month, and then my next one will be in 2 months. And, of course, everything is fine with my eyes. My corneas have healed, and my vision is still basically normal. I haven't had many side effects. My eyes, I haven't had trouble with dryness that some people have. However, I have had some trouble with night vision, specifically seeing halos and starbursts. Now, the halos for me aren't too bad. I mean, they're worse than I saw with contacts, but they're not, they're weird but not distracting. They basically look like fuzzy snowballs of light around streetlights or traffic signals or car tail lights, but that's about it, really. So that's not a big drama. However, the starbursts are another matter, because some headlights, usually the bluish lights of like halogen, for example, create these big starbursts that, if the lights are particularly bright, can sort of fill my whole field of vision when I'm driving down the street, which obviously can be a bit of a problem. Now, all I have to do is just concentrate on what I'm doing, and I can ignore the starburst or look past it or whatever, I don't know. And we still have to wait and see what happens, because it's entirely possible this will resolve itself over the next couple of months, because my vision won't stabilize for another couple of months. And if not, we talked about the possibility of maybe using some sort of filtering lens to filter out the blue light, because it is the blue wavelength lights that are causing the problem, the halogen, and what's the other one called, xenon or whatever it is? But we'll see. But that's really the only side effect I've had so far. I can read again. I had some difficulty reading in the short term after the surgery, but now I don't seem to have any problems with that, so that's all good too. And they were very pleased. And when I went up there, it was the first time I'd been to that particular branch. I'd gone into the city before, but it takes me about an hour to get there because of traffic. So I wanted to go to the one here on the shore, and it only takes about 10, 15 minutes to get there, even though I'd never been there before. And I was really lucky that I found a car park directly across from the front door, because with this gout attack, I have to walk very slow. I just cannot go quickly. And it's a big mission to go very far. So I was really lucky about that, especially because it was a really rainy day. So, yeah, other than that, everything's all go. Nothing really new to report. We had an email from Nigel's niece, who is at a summer camp in America, and I'd mentioned that before. And I actually thought, it's an email to her friends and family, and I actually thought I'd like to share some of her observations, if that's all right, because I thought that some of what she said was really interesting. And it's only in one paragraph. It doesn't take very long. She says, "I miss fruit and veggies. As expected, there's some pretty crappy food over here, and it's hard to eat healthy food, but I am trying." That's a common complaint that Kiwis make when they go to America, that there's several things they'll complain about. One is that the food is incredibly fatty, which they weren't expecting, and that the portions are huge, certainly as compared to what New Zealanders are used to, and that healthy fruits and vegetables are not typically part of the menu. Now, at the moment, she's in a sort of a camp situation, so they do cafeteria, mass feeding sort of food. So it's probably not the best situation anyway. But even just kind of going around to restaurants and so on, it's typically what Kiwis notice about the food in America, about how it's high fat and not necessarily very good for you. Let's be honest here. And, she goes on, they have drive-through Starbucks, which I find pretty crazy. We don't have drive-through Starbucks in New Zealand. We don't have many drive-through restaurants of any type here in New Zealand. There's some Wendy's here in Auckland. There's some Burger King, some McDonald's here and there, some KFCs. But by and large, I suppose most of the freestanding units do have drive-throughs, but there are a number that don't. And it's not part of New Zealand culture necessarily to drive through to pick up food going somewhere. So the idea of a drive-through Starbucks just strikes people as really bizarre. And she says, and their iced coffee is just coffee with ice in it, which I also find funny, because here iced coffee is more of a coffee beverage. It's not coffee with ice cubes in it. It's, I think it's usually got milk and, or soy milk, and obviously coffee and ice. It's all sort of ground up, sort of not quite to the consistency of like a frappe or something like that. But I don't know. It's hard to describe. It's thicker than an iced coffee because of the ice and everything. But anyway, it's yummy. Just take my word for it. She says, another thing I find weird is how no one has electric jugs like we do. Now, an electric jug is a device. Some people call it a kettle, and you just plug it in and switch it on, and it boils water. That's all it does. When I was in university, we had this little thing we called a hot pot, which we used to heat water for coffee, instant coffee or a cup of soup or that sort of thing. But that, I never saw one after that. In fact, I only saw it around university, going to university time, or in the university bookstore, to be really precise about it. And I've never understood why. Most Americans that I've known over the years, she actually says this, they all have kettles on the stove and don't drink tea like we do. All the people I knew had kettles which are very often of thin aluminum, and they just would put it on the stovetop, turn on the gas or the electricity, and heat it up until it whistled, and then they would pour their cup of whatever. Well, that's incredibly wasteful. It's the most incredibly inefficient way to heat water is to do it on the stovetop. A jug is much more efficient way to do it. And it's so much more convenient. You just switch on the jug or switch on the kettle, same thing. And boil your water and you pour your cups of tea or cups of coffee or what have you. And that's the end of it. It's a much more convenient way to do it. Forget the efficiency side of it. It's just much more convenient. And I've never understood why America doesn't have them. I mean, I think they'd be huge hits if they were introduced there. But, you know, maybe I'm just mistaken about that. Now, when I arrived in New Zealand, they were almost invariably plastic, and they were almost invariably, the cord was always connected, kind of like a percolator. However, nowadays, they come in all shapes and sizes. Some are stainless steel, some are brushed metal or plastic. But most of them nowadays are cordless. They have I've forgotten what you call it. It's sort of like an induction heater thing in the bottom where the cord is. And you just lift the jug itself off so that it's not actually plugged in when you're pouring it, which is kind of a safety thing, but it's more of a convenience thing. So you can take the jug over to a table to pour, you know, fresh cups for people or what have you. Some older people will use teapots and make tea in that and then pour it from there. But younger people tend to put the tea bag in the cup and pour the hot water into the cup instead. And it is true that lots of people in New Zealand drink tea, but it's probably, last I saw, it was fairly evenly mixed between coffee drinkers and tea drinkers, and instant coffee is really big here, especially Nescafe, which is kind of similar to Taster's Choice, except that Taster's Choice is freeze-dried, whereas Nescafe is just crystal-ish, although some people use the cheap, nasty powdered stuff too. But having said that, a lot of people have espresso machines like we do. And a lot of other people use coffee plungers. The best-known brand of that is Bodum, which I know is sold in America. The first place I saw it, I think, was in Chicago, actually. Yeah, so it is interesting to Kiwis about how difficult it is to find a cup of tea. Now, Nigel has mentioned this in one of the podcasts we were at, that we would go to visit. We first went to America together in 97. We went back in 99, and some of the people we visited had the same tea bags that we bought 2 years earlier, and you can't keep tea bags that long. They only last a few months. It's like coffee, you know, the volatile oils break down and eventually it's no use anymore. But yes, interesting. But she says, she goes on, they also turn on red lights and their indicators are flashing red instead of flashing orange. It's crazy. That's one major difference. Turn indicators in New Zealand are always amber colored. Whether in the front or the back doesn't matter. They're always amber. Whereas in America, of course, the rear ones are always red. And that's something that Kiwis notice as well. Now, I have to admit, when I first came to New Zealand, I didn't notice. I didn't see it at all. And I said something about indicators, and Nigel was put out that I hadn't noticed that they're all amber here in the back of the car. And they are. And actually, if you were to import an American car into New Zealand, one of the things you would be required to change is the turn indicators in the back of the car have to be made amber. You cannot have red turn indicators in the back of a car. In New Zealand, that's illegal. You also have to add seat belts in the back if they don't have them originally, and other things. You're not required to change the steering wheel to the other side of the car, however, in most cases anyway. Anyway, those are just a few things that she noticed over there, and they're things that certainly other New Zealanders have noticed, and I know that we have as well. But those are the only things I wanted to go over today. As I said, the most critical thing to take away from today's episode is to change your feed to http://feeds.feedburner.com/Amrin's podcast. Because as of the 20th U.S. time, or sorry, the 19th U.S. time, the old feed may no longer work. You have been warned. But that's it for today, everybody. I hope you have a great rest of the week, and I hope to talk to you at the end of the week. But in any case, I'll talk to you soon. Oh, I almost forgot. Oh, God. If you want, you can leave a comment on my blog, which is amrinspodcast.com, or you can send an email to me at Arthur, that's A-R-T-H-U-R, at amrins.com. And of course, you can ring my U.S. listener line, as Chef Mark and Scott did, on 206-339-8413. But that is it for right now, everybody. I'll talk to you soon. Bye.